Light and shade in the catch up today. We did speak sport. The Perth Wildcats had a wonderful win on the weekend to win their 9th playoff. Then, of course, I had to touch on the Christchurch shooting and personally why I think that gun laws should be stricter in New Zealand and across the world, really. And also much more, Barry Urquhart, speaking about how the fallout from that Woolworth $1.10 price rise of milk. You hear it now. Next. Soon, Triple M.
Across Esperance. Sean for breakfast.
It's the Angels and Sean for... The time is quarter past seven, Angels, on Sean for breakfast. Esperance is 7:47, Triple M.
Dan the Surf Man, Surf Report.
It is a Monday, and what we do every Monday is catch up with Dan the Surf Man. We've got him a bit earlier this morning as he drives out towards the surf. Mate, where are you heading? How's it looking?
Hey, Sean. Mate, I'm heading out to Kelpie.
Oh, beautiful. So that means what good conditions, obviously, you're hoping for?
Well, I'm hoping for. I've just checked Westies, and it looks a little bit southerly, but I've got a mate at Kelpie who reckons it's on. He says it's on the pump, which means it's really good.
On the pump, you reckon?
Off the pump. That's the code word. It's on the pump.
Is that because you pump your fist when you're going down the wave? It's really exciting. Is that why?
I think it just turns on. It literally just turns on, but it's on the pump.
Gotcha.
And it only happens for a little window. But, so I'll go check that out. And tomorrow morning offshore, Wednesday morning offshore. Swell is good size for Esperance.
Wow.
In between that 1 and 1.6 metre range. Perfect.
Perfect. So what do you reckon the pick of the week's just the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday if you can?
Yeah, I reckon tomorrow morning is the pick of the week, and you could go anywhere. You go to Westies, Forties, or Kelpies, and you'll be all right.
Yeah.
And if you have the day off, Sean, if you have the day off, I reckon get yourself to the water. Get yourself to the juice. That beach is incredible. I had some mates down for the weekend, and they ended up staying out at the Duke of Orleans campground, and they were at the Duke all day, and they said it's the best beach they've ever seen in their entire life.
The best beach they've ever seen of their entire life? So what's the reasoning for that?
Oh, crystal clear water. There's actually got waves there, so you can surf whether you're a beginner or advanced. It's got all types of waves. It's a bay, so you can kind of drive around and find the right wind direction. I think there's barbecues there, Sean. I think it's just got everything going.
Because I've never been to Wharton's. I've never been to the Duke of Orleans. I've been a couple places, most places I think, but that's one place that I haven't touched yet, which I'm really jealous of people that go there because I've heard such great things. So, okay, so the pick of the week is obviously Tuesday around town, but if you can get out to Wharton's, then that's what you reckon, because what, you think you're saying before off air, 200-metre ride sort of thing, 50-metre rides or something.
He reckons. If you get the right little peeler to come in, I reckon 100-metre ride on your longboard.
That's amazing. That would be such a great surfing experience. It's just got me tonguing for it. That's all I want to do. If you can get out into the surf this week, try get to the Duke of Orleans. Otherwise, I'm sure there's plenty of breaks for the start of the week in town. Dan the Surf Man, he's about to jump into Kelpies. Have a good one, mate. I hope you enjoy the pump.
All right. See you later.
Coming up very soon, we've got the Beach Boys. The song released in 1969. It was one of the first songs that wasn't written by Brian Wilson, the Beach Boys frontman. You'll hear it soon, Triple M.
Across Esperance, Sean for breakfast.
Sean for breakfast, Esperance is 7:47, Triple M. It is a Monday, and we like to catch up with Barry Urquhart every Monday from Marketing Focus. Barry, how are you?
I'm exceedingly well, Sean.
Now, Barry, a few weeks ago, Woolworths announced that they were going to increase the price of their milk from $1 per litre to $1.10. What was your initial reaction when you saw the increase in price?
Well, I thought it was sound strategic initiatives from Woolworths, because after 8 years of having $1 a litre milk from both Coles and Woolworths, the lesson learned is that notwithstanding the cheaper price, consumer demand did not increase revenue. So the unit sales of milk remained relatively constant. All that Coles and Woolworths did in lowering that milk price was to have price deflation. So the same number of units of milk, less income, less profits, less shareholder dividends, and no substantial, sustainable, and discernibly concreted change in consumer behaviour and preference for the supermarkets or the brand of milk.
So, but I can safely assume the reason why they did this was to get people into the door, because milk is one of those necessities. So you have to go out and get your milk, get your eggs, get your bread. So they're trying to get people to their store to try and get them to buy other things. Is that where they make up their profit margins?
That's the whole idea, is that you've got staple items, because milk should not be looked at in isolation. At the same time that milk prices went down, so too did egg, bread and chicken. In an economy backdrop of around about 2.3% inflation, consumers did not change their behaviour. Already we've been tracking Woolworths, and it's interesting, there is no perceptive or in actual palpable change in the consumption of Woolworths, $1, now $1 a litre milk.
So that's interesting. That's very interesting, because Coles and Aldi have both said they won't change their prices. Do you think they should, considering there's no change in how much people are buying or their preference?
Well, it begs the question why they introduced it in the first place.
Yes.
The elasticity of demand of the economic principle is you lower price, consumer demand goes up, you win as a business. It was a philosophy that was really developed and espoused around about 1920 and into the 1920s. That's 90 to 100 years ago. It's out of date, obsolete, and has no relevance to the consumers today. We need to get in better contact with our consumers, have a different pricing model. As you said earlier, everyday lower prices is far more compellingly attractive to consumers, because that gives them choice, freedom, and the right to exercise where they buy, what they buy. Because when you have discounts continually, or just a repetition of sales events, the only thing that gets discounted is the brand of the store, the product, the service, or the application. And interestingly enough, it doesn't actually influence what people buy or where they buy it from. Sales and discounting in the final analysis determines when people buy.
Now, before I let you go, I want to put something to you. All right, Barry, I've purchased an IGA. It's pretty big, about medium-sized. What would it look like if you had the opportunity to craft it yourself? What factors would you most likely focus on to make it a really successful supermarket?
It would be a very simple process, because, interestingly enough, Coles and Woolworths have now come out and said that 40% of the products that will be on our shelves within 4 years will actually be house brand products.
Yes.
Now, those are products that would be known by very few people. I would be going to manufacturers, suppliers and distributors and say, if I can't have exclusivity with your brand, what I want is exclusivity with a product, a size, a model, a shape, and I'm going to have that type of situation, and so I'm going to have a point of difference. It comes back to a theme that I have as a conference address. It is better to be different than it is to be better. Very seldom do you hear consumers walk through businesses and say, my God, that's better. But you do hear them say, that's different.
Yes.
And when you are different, you are by definition first. And when you are different and first, by default, you're better, and that's the very reason why people will come to you. So exclusivity is a virtue.
I can hear it now. I go to Barry's IGA because that's the place where I can only get this. That is the only place where I can get this sized Nutella or something. It's brilliant. I'll try to set it up for you, Barry, and we can become some sort of partnership. But speaking to Barry Urquhart from Marketing Focus, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
As always, my pleasure. Thanks, Sean.
Across Esperance, Sean for breakfast.
Genesis and Invisible Touch on Sean for Breakfast. Esperance is 7:47 Triple M. It is just about 9 minutes past eight. And Friday afternoon was one of the worst things I've ever seen, and so close to home as well. 50 people are now dead thanks to a few shooters in Christchurch, New Zealand, just across the ditch there. It just proves that terrorism does not discriminate. It doesn't matter what race or religion you are, you can fall victim to heinous and disgusting crimes such as these. We don't want to focus too much on the event, more so on the fallout this morning. And New Zealand Cabinet will meet today. The Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, who's been outstanding in all of this, in this tragic event, she is held strong. And she has said that there will be changes to gun laws. At the moment, there's an estimated 1.5 million guns in New Zealand, and firearm ownership is way more common. There's more firearms per person in New Zealand than Australia. It's a little bit easier to buy automatic weapons as well. In the case of Christchurch, it was semi-automatic weapons that did all the damage. In fact, that man who was responsible, the New South Welshman, Brenton Tarrant, he actually purchased 5 firearms while in New Zealand before he went on his shooting spree. And they will change. They need to change. This moment will be New Zealand's Port Arthur. After the Port Arthur incident back in the 1990s, John Howard made a stance and said, we won't have this senseless killing. We're making changes. And New Zealand will do so too. And now it would only be the US of A who will need to change their laws. I understand the argument. It's people that kill people. It is humans that fire the trigger. But sometimes some people can ruin it for the rest of us. And some people can't be trusted. And some people are so full of hate that they don't deserve to be near a gun. And that's why the laws need to be stricter. Just my personal opinion, of course. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. There's an Australian politician who's become embroiled with this tragedy. He has said some disgusting things. His name is Senator Fraser Anning. You may not have even heard of him before the weekend. Now he's the guy that's been egged by a teenager in Melbourne. I'll give you more about that after Freedoms. This is Proud Mary on Triple M.
Waking up has never felt so good. Sean for breakfast.
Johnny Farnham there. Pressure down on Sean for breakfast. Espence is 747 Triple M. And what you're hearing there is a direct feed from Melbourne Stadium where the Perth Wildcats had a win yesterday. No, it's not a direct feed. I just lie. But no, we did win. I'm not joking about that. The Perth Wildcats taking out their 9th ever NBL Championship. They did it in 4 games against Melbourne United yesterday. It was a phenomenal win. And to talk to me about it, I have Tim Paris on the line. Tim, what a great result for the Wildcats.
Fantastic result, Sean. Good morning, and good morning, listeners. Good to be here again.
They say a cat has 9 lives, but in this case, the Perth Wildcats have got 9 titles, which isn't bad. Got a bit of a ring to it.
It certainly does, and plenty more to come, no doubt, as well, Sean.
Yeah, look, and they had a great effort, especially yesterday. On Friday night, they had a massive win. It turned out to be almost 30 points against Melbourne United. A great chance to build some momentum going into the game yesterday in Melbourne. And again, it was a very resounding win. Some great performers, including Tarico White and Bryce Cotton.
Yes, indeed. Bryce Cotton really came to the fore with 28 points. And Tarico White, Sean, he was named the Larry Senstock MVP for the whole series, and rightly so.
Well, he was brought into the side. He actually played in Asia, one of his last teams, and he was brought in because he had a very strong finals performance. And throughout the year, he's been a little bit maligned, but I tell you what, come finals time, he has been an absolute force. To be honest, like, there were some pretty curly moments in the game. Melbourne fought back a few times, but Wildcats really dominated this one.
They did indeed. And his 3-point shooting, Tarico White, it was just amazing. You know, he was being defended left, right and centre and still had that ability to knock down the big shot.
Well, we needed that, especially in the first 3 games of this playoff series. And Bryce Cotton was getting so heavily tagged. He had a lot of work go into him. So it was great to be able to go out to Tarico and him being the valve for it. Melbourne, yeah, as I said, they promised some big things. In fact, there was a commentator who was convinced that Melbourne would win this in 4 matches. Throughout the Friday night broadcast and throughout yesterday's broadcast, he's saying, oh, yeah, no, Melbourne have got this. They'll come back. Well, it's great to prove them wrong. And the Wildcats have doubted us throughout the year. At one stage, people were saying they wouldn't even make the playoff series at all. And here they are winning their 9th title.
Absolutely. And they did it with just the two imports as well. They backed the team they had in, Sean, and they really delivered in spades now.
Really did it as well for Greg Hyer. So this is, he called his retirement. He's been around, he's a real stalwart for the Perth Wildcats, been around for a very long time. But what was more interesting was the fact that there was a lot of kids coming through who had won their first ever title.
Absolutely, Sean. Four of them, in fact. Clint Steindl, Nick Kay, Mitch Naunton, and the man himself, Tirico White. Their first NBL ring, and hopefully plenty more to come.
Oh, hopefully. Look, great work, the Perth Wildcats. I'm going to do that again. Why not? Excellent stuff. I forgot to wear my Wildcats jersey this morning, but I might have to go out and put it on and wear it for the rest of the day. Hey, look, we actually had a very, very good weekend when it comes to West Australian sport. The Perth Glory also played on Friday night in Adelaide, and they had a great 2-0 win.
Absolutely, Sean. They had a 9-point buffer on top of the ladder now. Diego Castro and Andy Keogh were the goal scorers.
Yeah, Andy Keogh with a very pretty easy one, basically. He chipped it off, broke away, slotted it past the goalkeeper. Again, last week, people were saying, oh, Perth Glory, they're faltering a little bit. I think the chases are getting closer. They're just very, very good. Tony Popovich have got this team right where he wants them. They're going to be, I think we've still got another 5 or 6 weeks before finals, so hopefully they can keep building momentum towards that.
Absolutely. And a big game coming up against Melbourne Victory this Saturday night at home, Sean.
That will be big. That will be very big. They're very good, Melbourne Victory. So good luck to our Perth Glory. And talk about finals. The AFLW just got a whole lot more interesting. The Dockers needed to win on Saturday afternoon, evening, and they came through with the goods against the Kangaroos.
Win they did, Sean, by 27 points. And now they're going on to face Carlton in Melbourne for their first ever final.
So it's going to be difficult, obviously, in Melbourne, and the Dockers play quite well at home. But it's really interesting how the AFLW works. There's basically, for those of you that don't know, there's two groups, Group A, Group B. The Dockers are in Group A, so we've finished second in Group A. We'll verse Carlton, who's the lead of Group B. But in saying that, first and second isn't really first and second because Carlton actually haven't recorded as many wins as the Dockers. So despite going in as second against first, the Dockers probably are favourites here. I think that's about right. Have I got that right, Tim?
Yeah, it sounds good to me, Sean, that's for sure. And they will certainly fancy their chances here because the finals are a whole new game. And whether they're at home or whether they're away, they've got to give a very good account of themselves.
What time is it? What day is it? Is it Saturday night? Is it?
I believe it's on Saturday, and the details are going to be confirmed later on today.
Yeah, no worries. All right, and that's about it for the West Australian sport. It's been a wonderful little weekend for us. Can't wait for the next weekend of sport. We'll cover it with Tim Paris later this week. Tim, thanks for joining me.
Good on you, Sean. No worries at all, and go Wildcats.
Sean for breakfast catch-up on Triple M.
Bye-bye. Have a good time.
Listen to Sean for breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.